Welcome, everyone. It's Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. In the studio with me today is my wonderful associate pastor, who I love so very much, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, you sweet man. And joining us on the air right now, our minister of music. Hey, Nathan Burton.
Hey.
How are you?
I am wonderful, praising God.
And we love you so much, too. I tell you, we're just a group of loving people, you know? And we went, some of us went to lunch at a restaurant that we go to that I won't say where, but it was close by on Gulf to Bay. And we got our waitress that we always get, and so and we loved her, too. So it's just been a day, and she always gets our order right. And so that was kind of nice.
That's reason enough to love her.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's reason enough. And it's a gorgeous day in Florida today. And we had a wonderful service today, did we not, Nathan Burton?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. It was awesome.
Spirit of the Lord was moving.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And we are on part two of this discussion of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we began last Sunday. If any of you missed the show last week, go to our website. You can always do that, thanks to our wonderful engineer, Cedric, who is in there looking so cute. We'll give him a round of applause. Yes, he's wonderful.
Oh, I didn't have the applesauce
ready.
Oh,
you don't have it ready. Oh,
yeah. I should do that every time I get in here.
Yes, you should.
Because you never know when you're going to need some applesauce.
You never know. You never know. There you go. All right. We got some applesauce on tap. All right. And that was for you. That round of applause was for you, Cedric.
That sounds conceited. I better stop.
I know. That's all right. You know what? That's cool. You are great. And he does enable us technologically to get the shows within a few hours after our show. And we get them on our website thanks to our webmaster, Maxine, up in Georgia is where she operates from. And she gets the show on our website, bohmglobal.com. And so you can go back and listen to the old shows. I don't know about you, Nathan, but I think that's a huge blessing that we have.
Yes, it is.
So if any of you missed part one of this discussion of Holy Spirit baptism, listen to last week's show first. Of course, if you're listening live, then, you know, just that forget that point and listen to listen to part one at your leisure. But anyway, it will help you understand this whole thing. Pastor Jim, one of my favorite topics. How about you?
Mine, too.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, we love to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit because it so changed our lives many years ago. Last week was Nan and Betty, and they, all three of us, shared how we came to realize that we needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's why last week's show is so good, because personal testimony there about what it means to be filled up with God, which is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about. I want all you have for me, God, not just a little bit, not just a not just fire insurance so I go to heaven. I want everything. I want all the blessings.
Yeah.
Woo! Amazing, isn't it, Nathan?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a great, great gift of God.
It is, absolutely. And just such a wonderful knowledge that God is right there with us and wants to work in our lives on a daily basis, PJ. I mean, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us.
Right. And I know you gave your testimony again in church this morning.
And I did.
It's wonderful because I was thinking about my own and how different they are.
Right.
And yet it was for the same thing. It's just the way that God moved in each one of us. And I think probably in Nathan, too, is different. I mean,
yes.
We had the same need, but the way that God met that need was different. It gives individualized for each one of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And brings you to that point where you realize you need all that God has for you. Today, we're taking it a step further and not just talking about our need to have all that God has for us, but actually how that happens, the scriptural references that back it up, and how you can have the same power, that same dunamis, dynamite power that Jesus talked about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right before he went up to heaven, was caught up in to be with the Lord in the air. Right before all that happened, he stands there and he talks about the dunamis. And he says, don't leave town, stay put. This is Acts 1:8. Don't stay put until the Holy Spirit falls on you. and until he fills you up, and with his dunamis. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he says, you know, wait here.
Yeah.
And you'll receive power.
You'll receive power.
You'll receive power.
Right.
And
power.
To be witnesses.
Yes.
And sure enough, a few days later, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, absolutely. And we need that power.
I mean, we do.
In our own strength, we just muddle through life a lot of times, you know.
Well, I was thinking of the power to witness. You and I, Pastor, both belong to a certain organization when we were in college.
Right.
That did a lot of evangelism.
Yes.
And we sometimes, I think we became too dependent on the process, not the process,
the 4 points.
The 4 points.
It became too dry. Right,
I mean, it was like, right. I mean, I still have them memorized and
sure,
I can spit them out at a moment's notice.
Right.
And yet, if there's no power behind that,
right,
then, you know, these are certain steps and this is what you got to do. But Jesus said it's the power.
It's the power.
You look at Peter's sermon, which I'm sure we'll probably get into shortly. If he, well, first of all, I don't think he could not have preached it without the Holy Spirit.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, you know, if somebody had been handed that sermon,
right?
If Peter had just been handed that sermon and tried to preach it without the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm pretty sure it would have fallen on deaf ears.
Right.
Yes.
But because he had been filled with the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I was going to start in Luke, but we're going to go to Acts 1. And as soon as we do this first song, one of my favorite songs by the group Casting Crowns, we love them. This is a great song. It's called Spirit Wind, and it talks about the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words.
Listen. Ezekiel stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army, to him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. He stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form, and as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed the breath of life into their souls and raised them again a mighty army. Risen warriors will battle again, but they have been filled with the Spirit. A pastor stands before his congregation, once a mighty army for the Lord. But now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives, and wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. But this time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Oh Lord, send your wind into this valley and breathe the breath of life into their souls. Raise them again a mighty army. Soon these arisen warriors will battle again. Have been filled with the Spirit. Oh,
Praise God. Holy Spirit, breathe your life on us. Oh, we take that right now, don't we, Nathan? I tell you.
Yes, we do.
We
yes,
want the Holy Spirit to move mightily in this show today. And we just declare that right now in the name of Jesus, that people are going to listen and go back and listen again and get these facts down on the inside of them. And we've got the internet up. You can be in contact with us on this show right now, live today, if you're listening live. And that's pastor@bohmglobal.com. It's my email. It comes right here in front of Pastor Jim. pastor@bohmglobal.com for your questions or your comments. Here we go. Let's go to Acts 1. So here we are, right before Jesus is caught up. It's he's been in his resurrected body 40 days, right, Pastor Jim? Mm-hmm. What did he do during those 40 days he was walking around?
Well, Luke says that he presented himself alive to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive.
Yes.
He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. I'm actually reading out of the first part of chapter 1.
Okay.
And spoke to them about the kingdom of God.
Yes. So, I love that. That's what he did. So he had many appearances and many meetings with the disciples in his resurrected body. And it says he ate with them a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. They ordered pizzas. They, you know, they were just,
Yeah, verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them.
Right. Then he says to them, here's what you're going to do. You're going to wait until the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit to absolutely fill us and overwhelm us with himself. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think some people think that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get more of the Holy Spirit. And that's not quite the case.
It's not really the way it is.
All the Holy Spirit you're going to get lives inside of you already.
Right.
In your spirit.
Right.
And the word baptism in Greek means waterlogged. It's like it's like a sunken ship that's waterlogged. And that's what happens with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's all who's already living in you kind of bursts out. I'm sure you went over John chapter 7 in last week.
Well, we're going to do it again. I mentioned it. We're going to do it again.
And into your soul and in your body. I mean, you get immersed.
Yes. You just get more of God than just fire insurance.
Right. And he gets more of you.
And he gets more of you because the Holy Spirit comes, and I love to call him by his code name, Mr. Clean, you know, because he comes in and begins to do the cleanup process in you. That, yes, that can be done right after you get saved, before the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but a lot of people are not that aware of what God is doing in them. They think they got saved just to go to heaven.
Right.
And I think this is where it breaks down. But we get saved not just to go to heaven, but also to allow the process of God to change us into his likeness.
Right. Exactly.
You know? So, So here we are, and they're sitting there breaking bread, and they're talking, and he says, here's what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me, John baptized in water. Now, you don't have to go back to this, but I'll quote it to you from John chapter 1, verse 33. When John the Baptist is baptizing people, he looks up and here comes his first cousin, Jesus, towards him. And John the Baptist prophesies and says, here he comes, the Passover lamb. The Lamb of God, here he comes. And then John says in John 1, 33, this is the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. We can baptize in water, and we do. We just Nathan, you and PJ and I, we just baptized 7 in water on Memorial Day out at Sand Key, which was great. And we baptize in water as an outward sign of an inward change. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that waterlogged experience. Go ahead. Woo!
It's a
well. It's just like just when you think there's nothing left,
right? That there isn't
God
any
says,
more surprises. You mean
God says I have so much more for you, and in order to prepare you for what I have for you, let me fill you up with myself.
Amen. Amen. And because of that willingness to be all that God wants you to be, you begin to move out in things in the spirit, which we're going to talk about today, and that prayer language, which we are going to talk about that. Some of you need this teaching on that, so grab a pen and a paper and write these verses down. And if you do, start out on your paper with John 1:33, where Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. Then write down Acts 1:5 and Acts 1:8. And it's in Acts 1:8 where Jesus said, I'm going to give you the dunamis, the power to be my witnesses. And Nathan, I tell you, without that power, there's a lot of times we would goof up opportunities, wouldn't we?
Oh,
we would mess them up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because the Holy Spirit is a revealing.
Yes, yes.
And he reveals to us opportunities.
Yes.
And he empowers us to take advantage of them.
Amen. And that's the word for today, you know, revealing, because that's what God does. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he begins to reveal himself to us in greater measure. We find that the word of God opens up to us better. We understand it better. Mm-hmm. And we have a craving, a desire for the word. PJ, you can relate to that. Didn't that happen to you after you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah. I was pretty hungry before, but I was I was famished.
Ravenous.
I was ravenous afterwards.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
you just needed the word.
And even on those times when I'd pretty much be backslidden,
right,
I'd still get in the word.
Right.
I mean, you know, God would still nudge me to stay in the word.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we need it. We have to have it. So this is one of the benefits. So if you're writing down the benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, number one, it's actually a command. Jesus said, wait here and you will receive. So it's something that you need to do. Will you go to heaven if you never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. If you're saved, you will. So it's not a requirement to get to heaven. It's an additional blessing. And I just love it. It changed my life so drastically. And so today we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what it does for you when you open your mind and your heart to receive all that God has for you. So back to the Mr. Clean thing. I found personally, and I'll just ask you two guys this, my ears, it's almost like God cleaned out my ears. I heard his voice better and have consistently since I asked him to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Mm. Did y'all experience that at all?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost.
I learned to recognize the voice of God after asking the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah, so, I recognize this voice.
Well, Jesus says in John 10:10, my sheep hear my voice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
honestly, everybody can hear God's voice, but there is a difference after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, you're moving on. You're moving in a different plane.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yes.
You have a different hookup.
It's like the major leagues versus the minor leagues.
Kind of, yeah. instead of a 120, you got a 240.
Okay, there you go. It's power.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, because you get the power. That's what you get.
The Holy Spirit's in you, so you've got that connection.
Right.
But now you've got big connection, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like your signal you're receiving is stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, what powerful. So here's what the disciples did. Woo, we got to talk more about this. They, in verse 14 of Acts 1, they agreed that they were in this for good and completely together in prayer. The women included also Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers. So a whole bunch of them got together. In fact, we know about 120 of them committed to go the distance. Okay. They agreed and they decided, okay, Jesus says that we should wait in Jerusalem for the power. We're going to wait for the power. Boy, I tell you what, we're a people that don't like to wait for anything, though.
And they didn't just sit around.
No, they didn't.
You know,
what were they busy doing for 10 days?
They were busy praying.
They were praying.
You know, they were of one mind, praying constantly.
Yes, they were. So they were in agreement. They were in unity, which there is such power in unity, prayer of unity, prayer of agreement. And so here they are. And now we get 10 days later. Why that particular day, Pastor Jim? Why couldn't it have been 9 days later or 5 days later or 11 days later?
Because it needed to occur on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the first Feast of First Fruits.
Okay.
And this was the Feast of Weeks, and God said, at this one, it's also a harvest festival. And, you know, there's a different, at the Feast of First Fruits during Passover week, it's barley that you're waving.
Okay.
This one, the Feast of Weeks, you're waving the first fruits of the wheat harvest.
Okay.
And Jesus, ooh, I just got this.
That's, go ahead.
When Jesus always talked about the harvest, he was in a wheat field.
Okay.
And Pentecost occurred at the first fruits of the wheat harvest.
Okay.
And, I mean, it had to. It just, that was the perfect time for it to happen because there was a harvest that day. The first fruits of the church happened that day.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus is all about harvest.
Oh, yes.
And that's where we are at this point in time in our 20th century, 21st century, whatever we're in. I don't know.
21st.
Yes, 21st. I used to work for Century 21. I think it is 21st. But here we are, and we're in a time where there's great harvest that God keeps telling us through prophetic words that he is going to bring about now. And he calls it at the end of the age, and whatever amount of time that is.
Well, when I was preparing the sermon for last week, there was much more I could have done, and I'll just toss in a
Toss it in.
Israel has two rainy seasons, the early and the latter rains.
Right.
And you have to have both in order for the harvest to mature.
Okay.
And, you know, in
Good
Joel,
point.
Right after he's, you know, just before he's talking about the prophecy of the giving of the Spirit, he says, I will restore the early and the latter rains.
Amen.
And we're in that time.
We're in the latter rain.
Yeah, because the harvest is coming into fullness.
Yes. More and more people are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit than they ever have before. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was about the turn of the of 1900 when there was this outbreak. The Azusa Street outbreak. Mm-hmm. Outbreak of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean outbreak of
outpouring.
A disease. Outpouring. An outpouring, not an outbreak. And people began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there had been a lull in between for a long time where it just seemed like, you know, the church was pretty dead.
Yeah, there's a... God started restoring the church back in the 16th century with the Reformation and Martin Luther.
Martin Luther King. Oh, no, Martin Luther.
Martin Luther. And, you know, and it's funny because...
Oh, sorry about that.
You know, he started with justification by faith.
Right.
And then the movement of the Anabaptists for baptism. Baptism was restored. Then with John and Charles Wesley in the late 1700s, early 1800s, holiness was restored.
Sure.
And then in the mid-1800s, healing began to be restored.
Right.
1900, the baptism in the Holy Spirit was restored. And then God's been building on that all this time.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Paul says that Jesus will present to himself a spotless bride. And
Amen.
All this had to happen. To make the bride spotless.
And so here we are at this point now in the 21st century, and a lot of people believe that we are close to the return of Jesus. We don't know how close, whatever. But there is that ingathering that's happening now, that harvest time where people are coming into a knowledge of these truths about the Holy Spirit and wanting what God has for them. Nathan, that's what happened with you. You came to a point in your life, right, where you decided you wanted everything God had for you?
Yes, I did. Yes, in my Baptist church.
In your Baptist church. How did that go over?
Oh, well, the first people kind of rejected me.
Right, right. How old were you when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I was 13.
Okay. And had you heard a teaching on it, or did you just want everything God had for you?
More to God. I just wanted, I knew there was more. I just knew there had to be more.
Okay. Did you go up to an altar of prayer? Did someone lay hands on you?
No, I was sitting in the pew.
See, it can happen all kinds of different ways. Just sitting in the pew, and what happened?
And God laid me down. And gave me tongues.
You laid down on the floor. He knocked you down on the floor?
Yes. Yeah.
Hmm.
That must have created quite a
that
stir.
Must for a 13-year-old boy. And then he gave you your prayer language right there.
Right there.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
It was amazing.
What'd your mother say?
Well, first she thought I was acting up.
she thought you're, yeah.
There he goes again.
There he goes again,
but,
yeah.
But then she knew. She realized it was God within my life.
Right. And I can tell you that knowing you as well as I know, you would never, ever take that experience away from yourself, would you? You are excited that happened to you.
Yes, I was. Very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited. And so appreciative. I was a different person.
Right. Exactly.
I was a totally different person.
That's what we're talking about. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, I guess when... So this happened. I think it's great. I love it when God just does that, you know, without you really knowing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
When were you able to give it the name, the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
I mean, when did you actually find out what this was that happened to you?
Well, after I received teaching on it.
Okay. All right. So before that, you were just, your heart was crying out to God, I want more of you. I want all you have for me. Is that what was happening? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That, I think, is the common denominator through most people that I've heard as they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've come to a point in their life, they realize there's more of God,
and they want it.
And they don't want to just ho-hum go through their Christian life. They want to have the power to be that witness, and they want to be on fire for God. They're thirsty for God. And when you get to that point, look out, because this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit.
You get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Woo! So let's go to Acts chapter 2. So it's the Feast of the Pentecost, and this is chapter 2, verse 1 of Acts. And they were all together. Who? These 120 guys that were hanging out together in one place. So there's unity. I tell you, you want to see a mighty move of God, get in unity with your brothers and sisters around you. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. That had to be frightening. It filled the whole building.
And it was the sound.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of the made for TV Bible epic thingies,
right?
And the one AD, I remember that it wasn't that the curtain started flapping, and I think it was just the sound.
Just the sound, dead still, but here's the sound
of this wind.
It's like people describe tornadoes, and I heard somebody on the news the other day in some part of the United States Central. Did you hear that?
They said it sounds like a train.
You've heard it.
Went over a funnel. Yeah, it sounds just like a train.
It's like a train. So this was a sound, and it must have been mighty. And it says here that it filled the whole building. And then, like a wildfire, we mentioned this last Sunday, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. Now, this is a visible, audible evidence that something has happened. And I think God did that so he could say, wait a minute, I'm not just moving in secret. He's out there. He's out there with a suddenly moment.
I have a feeling that it wasn't just the 120 that were hearing this sound.
Oh, yeah, no.
And, it says that there's what appeared to them as tongues of flame. And I picture that as like the glory of the Lord sitting on each of them.
Right.
Well, I'll bet you could see that from the street.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And then, the Holy Spirit comes on them. They start speaking in tongues. And notice they were inside. Well, they obviously had to go running outside.
They had to.
And, later on, people thought they were drunk. So they must have been acting pretty peculiar.
Yeah.
Well, they had to be running out and speaking in this new prayer language that they each had different from the others.
Right. So it must have sounded like craziness.
Right.
Except one of the reasons I think it needed to be Pentecost is that was one of the three pilgrim feasts.
Yeah.
And in Deuteronomy 16:16, three times shall each of your males appear before me at unleavened bread, Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
Well, this is the Feast of Weeks. So it's one that God commanded people to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for. So you had Jews from all over the world.
So it was quite intentional on God's part.
Exactly.
God's intentionality. I love that.
Because
Woo!
they could have all spoken in Hebrew.
Right.
Because the Jews living you know, out wherever, that that would have been a second language to them.
Or it could have happened in some remote little cave somewhere where nobody heard anything. But instead, it's just like God to be a big show-off. And well, he loves this, you know?
and they spoke in the languages, not something that they knew.
Yes.
You know, the 120, they were they were praising God in... And it lists here all the different...
All the different languages,
You know, and these are
about verse 11 of Acts 2.
These were pretty much illiterate.
Yeah.
Maybe not, well, so maybe not illiterate, but...
These were common people.
They would have known probably, well, obviously Hebrew, Aramaic, probably Greek, but that would have been about it.
Right.
Got the limit, yeah.
Yeah, they might have known some Latin, that's possible, but you look, did they know Parthian, Median?
No. Think about it.
Did they know the language of Mesopotamia?
Right. No.
You know, all these different places.
This had to be God.
Did they know Egyptian?
Right. And it's so interesting that there were so many people there as witnesses of this. We know this was a huge, impactful event because Peter gets the boldness. Peter, who denied Jesus three times, Peter is now turned around a few days later, and he stands up in verse 14 of Acts 2, stands up and backed by the other 11. So, okay, I love that. Backed by the other 11. So here's Peter. It wasn't just him standing up there to preach. The disciples are standing in unity. Okay?
And that's so important because, you know, the 12, with Peter kind of at the head, it's like they were there in unity and solidarity, and it's not just Peter.
Right.
It's all of them standing together as one person.
And they've all got a prayer language because it just happened. It happened to 120 of them in the upper room. And they're standing there, and Peter speaks out with bold urgency, it says in the Message Bible. And that, I love that. He doesn't just say, oh, what's going on? And everybody fall into panic or scared, you know, behavior.
Right. And well, and my point, I'm sure he spoke in Hebrew or Aramaic, which would have been the language that everybody understood.
Okay.
Right.
And that was, you know, that was my point. God used tongues to really be a show off, as you said.
Yeah.
Well, to get their attention.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, because they said, we hear them talking about the wonders of God in our own language.
But that's what they were talking about, the wonders of God. Mm-hmm. And the Message Bible says, describing God's mighty works. So this is not ribble-rabble. This is not nonsense baby talk. This is a language that's speaking about God's mighty works. People, if you're taking notes, write that down.
It could be translated. On the day of Pentecost, those, at least for those language that are listed, those people that are listed, those languages could be translated.
They could be translated.
I mean, they knew what they were hearing.
Yes, yes. And it's just like now, in with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if there is a message in a tongue, in a service, in a gathering, there will be a translation, an interpretation of that.
And I have heard even now of God moving. I know I read it in all, like, you know, books about Pentecost and stuff, or the Pentecostal movement, that God has used people, given them a language that one of the hearers understood.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe there's a Chinese lady who doesn't understand English, and all of a sudden you start speaking Chinese.
Right.
But you're talking to her about God.
Right.
You know?
The subject matter is God's mighty works.
Right.
The subject matter is God's mighty works and what he's doing, you know, and how wonderful he is. So, Nathan, think about this. Picture that day and standing in the crowd, let's say, and listening to Peter and looking up there. And I'm sure they put him on a table to stand on or some kind of a platform. And hear his voice is projecting without a microphone, of course, and that built-in mic. And he begins to talk and he begins to say, here's what just happened, you know. And I love this. It's what verse is that? In the last 17. Days, God says, what is it?
17.
Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. There's some kind of a static or some kind of a something.
Nathan, you got your radio on?
Nathan, is your radio on?
Hold on a second. Hold on. Sean? Turn it down, please.
Okay, there you go. So it's them. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because we were. It's coming in over the show. Okay. So suddenly here, when Peter stands up to talk and to preach, he's explaining. Wait a minute. God already told us this was going to happen. I made that point this morning in my sermon. God always gives us plenty of warning of what's going to happen. Like, for instance, back in the book of Isaiah, God said, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. God told us that hundreds of years before it happened. Then it happens, and then God says, I told you so. This is what happened. Okay? Go ahead.
That's what happened here.
Exactly.
You know, Peter says, wait a minute, we're not drunk. This is a fulfillment of what happened with the prophet Joel.
Amen.
What was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to quote Joel chapter 2, and it's like saying, see?
Right.
You know, this is what's happening right here, right now.
Yes.
I saw your eyes.
So God already warned us this was going to happen. Well, it's happened. It's happened today.
Yep.
And Peter stands up and says, okay, this is what God was talking about in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And he quotes it right there. And he says, when the time comes, this is part of that, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. And then he talks more about what's going to happen. And then whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved. I think this is very cool that he says men and women alike, which is what Joel talks about, too. Kind of breaks down that stereotypical attitude of it's only for men.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, there were a couple of prophetesses, Huldah, Deborah in the Old Testament. Well, Miriam.
Right.
And God says, you know what? No more distinctions.
Right.
Equally, I'm going to pour out my spirit equally on all people.
Well, and Paul says in, was it Galatians, that it, for men and women, you know, whatever.
Greek,
Jew,
barbarian.
Greek, everybody, it's all the same. So, you know, we all have equal access to be filled up with the Spirit of God. It's not just for pastors and teachers. It's not just for evangelists.
It's not just for prophets anymore.
It's not just for prophets anymore, which is exactly the point. Hebrews chapter 1, I started the sermon this morning with that. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, you can put in your notes if you take notes, where it says that God spoke to us and through prophets, but then he saw fit to send his son, Jesus. And Jesus came and showed us. He was the exact mirror image of the Father. So when Jesus walked this earth, look at what Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, that it was coming. The Father gave him, and there, that's why we got to run over to John chapter 7. Let's go there real quick. Nathan, I don't know about you, but this just blesses me so much to teach on the Holy Spirit because of the radical change that we see in people's lives when they move into all God has for them. Don't you
Amen.
Think?
Amen. I agree.
It's just...
And you want that for everyone.
I want it for everyone, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So let's go back to see what Jesus said about this subject before it happened. Jesus warned, or I guess gave them a preview of what was going to happen. John chapter 7, starting with verse 37 and 38 and 39. Pastor Jim, you want to read it and explain it?
Okay. On the last and greatest day of the festival, speaking of the festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive.
Amen.
Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Amen. So here's Jesus saying, here's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How he does it, it's going to happen.
Right.
And then it happens just a few short time later. Go ahead.
Right. Well, the symbolism here is amazing. During the Feast of Tabernacles, during the time of the Second Temple, the time Jesus lived, each day you would take water from the pool of Siloam and pour it out on the altar. I mean, it was all about joy and happiness. And this is, you know, we're just, we're, you know, pouring out the water, just thanking God for his blessings. It was like a water offering.
Wow.
And that's what Jesus, you know, if you're thirsty, out of your belly is going to come rivers of living water. Because the pool of Siloam was just that, a pool. It yeah. wasn't like living, it wasn't like running water. Jesus said, oh no, I got something better for you. You think that, you think this is cool? I got something better for you.
And out of your belly. So how does this relate to the Holy Spirit? Nathan, oh, talk about that, and then we'll get back to PJ on that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know whenever I'm praying in the Spirit, my mind's not engaged.
Right. Yeah.
It's coming out of my belly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It comes up and bubbles up out of me.
It does. And that's what he's talking about.
Just, you know, look. I guess that's where the Spirit is seated.
That's right.
It bubbles up out of my belly and just to the ears of God.
Yeah, I think some translations say out of their innermost being, out of our spirit.
Right.
That's what, and this is talking about the baptism of the Spirit, that overflow.
Right.
Just bubbling up from within our spirit into
that
our soul,
water logged
body.
Thing.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. Woo! So let's do this song by CeCe Winans. Oh, what a great song. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. And it pertains to you, yourself, and also like a sanctuary like we had this morning at Beacon of Hope where the Holy Spirit was so very present. Praise God. Love that song. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Come fill every part. part of what we do every day. Fill our lives to overflowing with you. That's what we want. Oh, my. So, Nathan, the days that we are just kind of barely getting through the days is when we especially need to remember that when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he gives us the power, the dunamis.
That's right.
You know,
that's
to be right. more than we are in our own abilities, you know?
In our own selves, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, it takes him. It takes the Holy Spirit to help us get through the day
right.
and glorifying God.
Right. And remember Jesus said, I'm going to give you the dunamis. That's that dynamo. That word talks mm-hmm. about dynamite, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got on the inside of us. How does that affect your life, Nathan?
Oh, I have no excuse.
You have no excuse? Oh, good point.
I have no excuse. I mean, there's no reason for me to be under the circumstances.
Right.
There's no reason for me to be in bondage. There's
right.
no reason for me to be under Satan's influence. There's no reason for me to fail.
Right.
Because I have the power of God in me.
Right.
Moving in me.
Ooh.
Moving through me. And I can, and is that my availability? It's available to me.
Exactly.
To use for God's glory.
But it's a choice. God does not cross our free will. So
no, he doesn't.
There are times, and people get into pity parties. People that are filled mm-hmm. with the Holy Spirit can get into mm-hmm. long seasons of feeling sorry for themselves, or
yes.
or things that have just, you know, addictions or something, and yet. The power is available to them. It's right there within them. PJ, talk
That's
about
right.
that. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, you just have to plug in.
You got to plug in.
I mean, a lamp does you no good unless you plug it in.
That's exactly
That's right.
right.
And it's the same thing. I mean, you know, there have been times. I mean, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit now almost 40 years.
Right.
And there's been times when I wasn't tapping into the power, when I was feeling sorry for myself, or
right.
I was out running in the world. And yet, praise God, because the Holy Spirit just keeps dragging you back.
Exactly.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
kicking and screaming, but he keeps taking you back and reminding
right.
you. You know, you need to plug back in.
You got to plug back in. Friday, about noon, Nan called me a little before that, and she said, "Do you want to meet me for lunch at this place?" And I said, sure, you know, it just worked out. Well, it was starting to storm Friday around noon in our part of the territory, Clearwater, Palm Harbor. And so I got all ready, and I'm just turning on the TV for the dogs, just got it on, and I lost all the power. So there went the TV for the dogs, and I'm thinking, okay, well, they'll be okay without TV. And then I realized, wait a minute, my car is in the garage, and the garage door opener does not work without power. Okay? And so I started to text Nan, hey, I'm running a few minutes late, when all of a sudden here came the power, and I was able to get out of the garage. Okay? So we have those. That's a little story that did happen. So we have those times in our lives where we feel like, oops, how am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. How am I going to get to lunch with Nan? You know, how am I going to get my car out of the garage? Well, there's no way. It's not going to fit through the side door, I'm telling you right now. So I've got to wait till the power comes on. Talk to me about that, Nathan.
Well, there are so many things. There are so many times as Christians, we're gung-ho about doing something. We're gung-ho about witnessing, let's say.
Right.
And we go out and we try to witness in our own strength.
Right.
In our own ability.
Mm-hmm.
And it falls on deaf ears.
Right. Nothing happens.
People seem to get offended.
Right.
You know, and they have negative things to say to you or about you. And so then I realize that it takes the power of the Holy Spirit in me to bring the word with power.
Exactly.
And that I have to yield to the Holy Spirit and take opportunities as he presents them, as he leads and guides and directs me, and as he fills my mouth with the words to say.
Okay, what you're talking about is that ability to hear the voice of God that we've alluded to already earlier in this show, and being willing to go with what God directs you to do. And there
Amen.
It takes obedience. And Nathan, I know and you know, there's many times that we have opportunities that God puts in front of us, and we just kind of ignore them and put our little...
Kind of let them slip by.
Yeah, we just kind of let them slip by because we're busy, we're running, doing this or doing that, and maybe God has somebody text you and say, I really need somebody to pray with me right now, and you just are like, well, okay, I will in a little while, and then eventually you forget, or whatever the case may be. We miss an opportunity, you know?
Yes.
And I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it really does allow us to see, not just hear, but see opportunities that we don't normally see. Don't you think, Pastor?
That's right. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, and it's almost like it makes your awareness of others around you and their needs and opportunities makes those a little more front and center with you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Well, the thing of it is, we receive God's nature in more fullness.
Yeah.
When we receive the Holy Spirit. And God's nature is love.
Right.
And love will open your eyes to a lot of things.
Yes, it will. It will.
Well, compassion, just reaches out.
I think it helps you focus here. Go ahead.
Well, that's a really good point, Nathan, because in the Gospels, a lot of times just before Jesus did a miracle, it said, moved with compassion.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, he fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000, opened blind eyes. But it was because he was moved with compassion.
Right.
Yes.
And, I think walking in the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us, we tap in more to God, like you said, Nathan, God's nature, which is compassionate.
Right.
Loving.
Yeah.
And so, we see those things. And even in the book of Acts, it's amazing to me that there's no record that anybody cursed Saul after he had Stephen killed.
Oh, yeah.
But yet the
disciples walked in love. That's
right.
What you're saying.
And, well, and think of this opportunity in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John, I could start singing.
Right.
Went to pray. They went to the temple to pray. They met a lame man.
Right.
And
there must be a song about that, Nathan. I don't know.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Could be stirring in me.
Yeah, yes.
And they could have walked on by.
Right.
They could have said, oh, gee, I wish we had money to give you. I wish we could help you out in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, prompted by the Holy Spirit, they were filled with that compassion of God.
Yes.
And Peter said, look, I don't have silver and gold. I can't give you money, but what I've got, I'll give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Amen.
Yes.
You know?
That's huge right there. Because people want the things that they are familiar with from us. They want maybe, financial, or they want this or that, But what Peter was saying here is what I have is so much better than that. Let me pray for you right now. Rise up and walk. I mean, better than a $5 bill,
right.
Wow. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this is the point I was getting to a minute ago, and that just makes my point. It changes your focus. And it changes your priorities. Would both of you agree with me on that?
I agree.
Oh, amen.
I agree.
Talk to me about that, Nathan, here.
Well, when you're full of God, his priorities become your priorities.
There you go.
And I believe, honestly, in our human nature, we have a list of priorities. You know, we got to eat, we got to have a roof over our head, we got to have a car, we got to have this, all the things that we think we need.
Right.
What God's priority is the people that he wants to know him.
Boy, and I believe that's so true.
That takes priority over things.
Yes, it does. It rearranges our day when we start out the day and say, okay, God, I'm here for you. My focus is going to be on what you want me to get done today for you and for your kingdom. Go ahead, PJ, comment on that, because I think that focus and priorities is very much a part of this as we start talking about prayer language here in the next few minutes.
Well, right. And like I said, it's not like we get more of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He gets more of us.
He gets more of us.
We tend to, as we take on God's nature, we become obedient. That becomes more and more natural to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Jeremiah said about the new covenant, I write their laws on my heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens. We get that on our hearts.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And obedience doesn't become a struggle.
Right.
No,
sometimes it can be, because sometimes we still want to walk in the flesh.
Right.
But obedience can be so much easier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With the power of the Holy Spirit behind you.
Absolutely.
Helping you to be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's like I can't love like I'm supposed to love. I can't tithe like I'm supposed to tithe. I can't teach like I'm supposed to teach without the Holy Spirit.
Without the Holy Spirit. And so it rearranges our thinking, and we realize, okay, and it's kind of interesting that God loves it when we're up against something that's bigger than what we can do, you know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I listened to it on my in my car a couple days ago, again, that old song, Praise the Lord, when you're up against a struggle.
That's right where I was going in my head.
That shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. And what?
And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly
fears. But, go on.
Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear.
Right. And then what's the next line? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Amen.
So when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you realize praise has to be so much more a part of your life and what you want it to be. What were they speaking when they were praying in these prayer languages? They were speaking of the mighty works of God.
They were
giving God glory. Okay, mm-hmm. They were giving God praise. That's what it's about. And so what happens with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, instead of being so self-centered, we begin to realize God's got something for me to do. Mm-hmm. Whatever he wants me to do, I want to do it. I'm going to get on board with God's plan. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 15 says, God says, I have the plans for you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know, I give you a future and a hope. I've got plans for you to give you. And instead of just thinking, well, how am I going to work this out and how am I going to work that out? It is so amazing to me when I let the Holy Spirit really, really drive. I saw a bumper sticker recently that said, God is not your co-pilot. He needs to be the pilot, or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, or...
If God is your co-pilot, move over a seat.
Right. There you go. That's how it was.
Right.
If God is your co-pilot, move over a seat. Okay, there you go. Because he needs to be the one directing. And when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are more sensitive. I'll go over these points. You are more outspoken. You're braver. You're bolder. Mm-hmm. You have more fearless confidence mm-hmm. in what you're hearing. You hear the Spirit of God better. You see opportunities better.
Mm-hmm.
And you desire to be more of what God wants you to be. You allow
Amen.
Mr. Clean to do the work in you that he mm-hmm. wants to do. He's scrubbing you clean. Search me, O God, mm-hmm. and try my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. All mm-hmm. of that. You start really allowing God to do that cleanup process in you. That is
Amen.
So important.
Amen.
Oh, Nathan, talk to us, because we're getting ready to do station ID in a minute. So go ahead. Give us your final words before you go today.
I just pray that those that are listening to us today that know Jesus as their Savior will desire in their heart to have all that God has for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today.
Amen.
They'll ask God to baptize them in the Holy Spirit so that they will receive the power that he has for them. And they'll also receive the mission that he has for them.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
He'll show them what the desires of his heart are.
Yes.
And that they will put those desires in their heart. God will place his desires in their heart and show them the way that they should go.
Oh, we totally agree with you, brother. Wow. It's always a joy having you on the air and a part of the radio team. And we'll see you Wednesday night for Bible study. And
yes,
Nathan, Bible study, what do we do on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at Beacon of Hope?
We have fun.
It's true. We do. Praise God.
We digest the word. We get in and we digest the word. We
yes.
get in and we taste it and we chew it up.
Woo.
Spit it out. Look at it again. Chew it up.
We sure do.
And like a collar cud.
Right, we do. And we just have a great time learning the word together, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And everyone's invited. A lot of people bring their dinner. You know, they come straight from work, so they bring their dinner. And we sit around tables in our Bible study room, which is the first room you enter when you come into our building. And that's a Bible study room with I love this. It's a 16-foot whiteboard that was purchased about a year ago from one of our members, and we fill it up on Wednesday night with the teaching, don't we, Nathan?
Yes, we do. It is always good.
It's always good. So we welcome you on Wednesday night at 7. Thanks, Brother Nathan. We will see you Wednesday.
Amen.
PJ, Pastor Jim's going to continue on with me. Pastor Jim, Sunday morning's a little different format, is it not?
It is. We have service beginning at 10:30.
Yeah.
And always a wild time.
Wild time. Singing, worship, praise, so important.
Amen.
To center us, bring us into. We're told to worship God. You know, come let us bow down and worship God. You know, we're told. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Yeah. People, if you're not in a local church in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come and join us. And you'll find that our slogan is what we're all about, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what we're all about. We're about the Word of God. That's what this show is about. We're number 300 and something. We're going to hit the number 400 of our radio shows. This is our eighth year on the air on Tan Talk 1340. And we are proud to be on this station and excited every Sunday to come here at 3 o'clock to 5 and teach the Word of God. I love it, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Woo, let's do station ID. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk about it.
I've got an itchy trigger finger. Sorry about
no,
that.
No, I should have stopped right there. So we're glad you joined us today on Living the Good Life, and it is a good life. It really is a good life when you are becoming all that God wants you to become. We chose the name for that show quarterback almost eight years ago. And go ahead, PJ.
Well, it's just, because you may be swimming upstream. We may be in the minority, but God just makes that so easy.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and it is a good life.
It is.
Because it doesn't matter what happens. I have someone always that I can depend on who sticks closer than a brother.
Amen. And we love it. So we just teach the Word of God on this show, and we welcome you to call in, or not call in, I'm sorry, to write in. And we have the computer up right now, pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can send comments or questions during this next hour of our show. So it's a two-hour show every Sunday afternoon, and they are put on our website, bohmglobal.com, every week by our webmaster. So if you missed them, if you missed last week's show, I would really suggest you go and listen to that. It was really the part one of this series that we're talking about today about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it will help you understand why it is so important. You know, what I've seen through the years, Pastor Jim, with people that get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there is a real desire to humble themselves, you know, and allow God to do a work in them. And that's why I love this next song, and it's intentionally on this show today. And it's a Casting Crowns song again, and it's Face Down.
I try to find a new way to tell you, some way to show you what you mean to me. There's nothing new. Exhaust myself searching. The world just keeps turning. What else can I do? 'Cause I find myself empty and face down, having nothing else to cling to, but need of love that only you can give. Face down, where I know that I belong, and I pray with grace that this world sees in me.
God. Brokenness is what I need. I'm going to stay face down. Pastor Jim, it's been my experience with leading many people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, of course, is the Holy Spirit baptizer, not us, but we lay hands on people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That a brokenness is so important when we are ministering in this area. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, yeah. When you said that earlier, the first thing I thought of was the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is speaking in an unknown language.
Right.
And
which is so scary for most people.
Well, and that's but it's a humbling.
Or weird.
Yeah, it's a humbling thing.
It is humbling. That's my point. Yes. That's why we played that song.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's a humbling thing because, and it's not like you lose control.
Right.
Or anything.
No.
You know, it's not like you get into some ecstatic frenzy and start leaping around like a banshee.
Right.
Well, if I may, let me just relate my own testimony.
Please do.
I was in a Bible study my freshman year in college, and one of the people in it was from the Assemblies of God. He later went on to become an evangelist of the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee. So that's about as Pentecostal as you can get.
Right.
And he invited me to his church that summer after our freshman year. And it was my first real experience in any sort of Pentecostal church. And it's not that I was against the baptism
of the
Holy
Spirit. You grew up Methodist, though.
I grew up Methodist. And, you know, truth be known, the history of the Methodist is rooted in...
Same with my denomination, the Friends, Quakers. Yeah.
Is rooted in the moving of the Holy Spirit. And people would fall out and speak in tongues at John Wesley's meetings.
Yes.
You know, so it's, of course, the modern Methodist church likes to kind of sweep that under the rug.
Right.
But, so it wasn't, I'd never been taught against it so much. I mean, it was kind of taught against in that organization that we were both in.
Right.
It was frowned upon, I'll put it that way. But I wasn't really taught against it. I just didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I went to my friend's church and heard people speaking in tongues and singing in the Spirit. And I thought, well, this is really kind of cool. And, you know, God put a hunger in me, like you had said. And my sophomore year in college, I was residence hall president. Hurrah, hurrah. But that meant
that
I had...
That was a big deal at Ball State
those days. Yes, it was. But one of the responsibilities is you had to work the residence hall desk.
Right.
And the shifts were set up very strange. Every so often you'd pull a double, you'd open and close.
Right.
The residence hall, like the front desk where you hand out all the pool cues and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that was the day I had two shifts. Well, a friend of mine had been going to a Bible study that was very charismatic, and he talked to me about it. I said, well, yeah, okay. You know, maybe it's okay for you. Maybe not for me. You know, I'm kind of okay with where I'm at, kind of. There was my first clue, kind of okay.
Kind of okay.
Well, anyway, my friend Gary gave me this book to read, and it's called Why Should I Speak in Tongues?
Right.
And so I read it, and you know me, Pastor. You know me long enough. You know me. I take my Bible down the residence hall desk.
Oh yeah.
I'm reading this book.
You
got to
make sure this
scriptures.
Is accurate and scriptural. Yeah. And I really appreciate that about you.
Yeah. Just
you know,
call me a Berean.
Right. Yeah. Just got to have the word backing it up. Right.
Right. And I think part of me was hoping just to disprove it, but I couldn't. And I spent like 3 hour shift in the morning and then 2 or 3 hour shift at night. And by the time I was done reading the book and reading the scripture, I thought, well, okay,
this
pretty
is
much
real.
Sure, this is real and it is for me and it's something I need.
Right.
Because the book presented all the reasons why you should speak in tongues and the benefits and moving on with God and that sort of thing. And that really hit home with me because I did want all that God had for me. And this is like saying,
that's a key right there.
Right.
If people are taking notes, write that down. That's a big key about this Holy Spirit baptism, wanting all God has for
you. Right, and this was like a signpost into that.
Right.
So the following morning, and this is why I appreciate that Nathan's and my testimony and your testimony are all so different.
They are.
Because... God's not boxed in.
Right.
Because me, you know, I tend to be kind of intellectual, so I, you know, read the prayer at the end of the book.
Right.
And, you know, I prayed believing. I said, Lord, if this is what you want, no, I said, Lord, I believe this is for me.
Right.
I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit now, and all of a sudden my tongue just did its thing, and I started speaking in another language. Well, my friend Gary, we went to the same church on campus.
Right.
The A-frame. As
right,
you
remember.
And he came, knocked on my door because we were going to go to church together. And he just looked at me and he said, "You got it, didn't you?"
Yes.
I said, "Yeah, I did."
Yes.
So,
but you had to speak it out by faith.
Right.
God does not change. He doesn't cross our will.
Right. He doesn't grab your tongue and waggle it for you.
You got to want to speak it. The syllables will be there and then it'll come out and you'll develop that prayer language into a fluent language. It may start with a few syllables, but it will develop.
Some people see the words and they just kind of read them. With me, it was almost like that bubbly little thing.
Right. Yes. And, praise God.
And then it started. And, praise God, because I did want everything that God had for me.
Right.
And, he just sort of eased me into it. And like Nathan, after a while, because I couldn't keep quiet about this, I told everybody in my home church. Well, I told like the pastor and the youth pastor and people we were closest, people I was closest to about it. And of course, they just didn't. They just didn't know about this cosmetic movement that I was in.
Cosmetic?
Yeah, that's what it wasn't them, but one of them called it the cosmetic movement.
The cosmetic movement. All right. And, well, that's interesting. That's weird.
And so, but eventually they all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit too.
Okay.
And to, go back to school the next year and one of the other, by that time I was a resident or student staff, one of the other people that was a student staff was also charismatic.
Yeah.
So we started this charismatic Bible study.
Oh, wow.
It was just, again, it was like, wow.
Yes.
This is what I needed. This is really what I needed.
And it really does cause you to become on fire for God, doesn't it? I mean, that was my experience and your experience. I mean, it changes you from a humdrum Christian of, all right, I'm a Christian. One of these days I'm going to heaven. Into on fire to see people get saved and set free and all that.
Well, the funny thing was I was called a Jesus freak before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Imagine what I was called after that.
You've always been a Jesus freak, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
It's great.
I look back and it's hard for me to believe almost 40 years ago.
Wow.
And
it's never left you, your prayer language, it's there. There is a difference between a message in tongues that's given in a service and your prayer language. And a message in tongues in a service has to have an interpretation.
Exactly.
And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But 1 Corinthians 14, 2 talks about the prayer language that God gives everybody that receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so let's go to Acts chapter 8 and start with verse 14 and see what happened here at this time. When the apostles in Jerusalem received the report that Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John down to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. My, this must have been very important, Pastor Jim. I mean, here's this whole group of people in Samaria that have gotten saved. Okay. Now, the apostles in Jerusalem are the disciples and the ones that were on the cutting edge of this new Jesus movement, right? And this is after Jesus went to heaven. So they sent Peter and John, and, Peter, James, and John were very close, the closest little knit group around Jesus. So Peter and John go down to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Next line in my Message Bible, it says, up to this point, they had only been baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. That's water baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Holy Spirit hadn't yet fallen on them. This right here in Acts 8, 14, 15, 16, Acts 8, 14, 15, 16, 17 shows a distinction between water baptism and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Two separate events, correct?
Exactly.
So they say, go down there. These people, we just heard all these people got saved. There's been revival down there. Go down there and let's make sure they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. They knew the value of the second step.
Right. And it's important because since these were Samaritans, these are the half-breeds, the half-Jews.
Right.
And so God was using this, I think, to you know, to expand the gospel.
Right.
And to prove that it's not just for the Jewish people anymore.
Right.
You know, because it expanded out of Jerusalem and Galilee into Samaria.
Amen.
And we know, I'm pretty sure, where we're going to go next, so I won't spill those beans.
Okay.
But I think it's important, you know, and I know we're going to talk about Simon because...
Go ahead. Well, you go right
in
ahead.
In Acts chapter 8, Luke does not specify speaking in tongues as the sign of the Holy Spirit, except... that we see when Philip goes there back in verse 5-ish, when
yes.
the crowds heard Philip and they saw the signs he performed, and I like the way that New International puts it. They saw the signs he performed and they all paid attention to what he said. I love that because they were seeing the signs. God was confirming the word with signs, and they were paying attention. It says, but with shrieks in. Impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. The next little section talks about Simon the sorcerer, who said that, you know, he was the great power of God. Apparently, he deceived a lot of people. Well, Simon heard the preaching, and he saw the miracles, and right along with these Samaritans, he also believed and was baptized.
Right.
I think he believed. I really Right. think he believed. I don't think he... got holiness quite yet, but I do think he honestly believed. And then I love it in verse 13. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw.
Right.
So I want our listeners to keep that in mind, because after Peter and John come down, lay their hands on the Samaritans, and they receive the Holy Spirit, in the verse right after that says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money.
Right.
Because he wanted to have that power. Well, he'd already seen, through Philip, healings, people getting delivered.
Right.
Astonishing signs and wonders,
oh, absolutely.
It says. So what was left?
What did he see?
Exactly. What was left?
Well, what did he see?
He saw them speaking in tongues. That was the only thing that he had not seen
up to that
point.
Right.
And once he saw that, he told Peter, give me money. I'll give you money.
Yeah, I want that.
I'll give you money if you give me this power.
And it's not for sale. It's just a free gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Woo! Let's go over to Acts chapter 10 and look at verse 44 for just a minute. And if you're taking notes, write these references down because they're going to help booster and bolster your faith here. In Acts 10:44. Actually, you kind of have to know what was going on right before that. Peter was talking. You want to give him an idea what was going on right before that in
yeah.
about verse 30,
Peter was,
39?
Well, I'm going to back up just a smidge more.
Go ahead.
We talked about how the gospel spread to Samaria, the half-Jews, and there was a God-fearing Gentile in Caesarea who had a vision, and an angel said, go send off for Simon Peter.
Right.
Again, Peter. And Peter also had a vision about God was saying, okay, I'm about to do something completely new.
Right.
Get ready. And right when he woke up from that,
there was a knock on the door. Right.
And it was some messengers from this Cornelius, this Roman centurion. And Peter went with them. And I'm sure it must have just, you know, irked him a little bit. What am I going to do? I got to go to a Gentile's house?
Right.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
You know?
And,
but he went and he says, you know what? I mean, and Cornelius told his story.
Right.
And Peter said, you know what? Wow. God really doesn't show any favoritism. And then he told him about Jesus.
Right.
He said, you know how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit.
Love
and he went
verse.
About doing good and healing all who were afflicted of the devil. And he went on to preach about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection.
Right.
And, yeah, verse 44, I love it. While Peter was still speaking these words, you know, he hadn't even finished his sermon yet.
Right. Right in the middle of the sermon. See, God doesn't care about our agenda.
Right.
It's his agenda.
Right, exactly. I mean, right in the middle of the sermon, God says, okay, it's time. Boom. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's what it says right here.
And they spoke in tongues.
That's Acts 10:44. No sooner than were these words out of Peter's mouth than the Holy Spirit came on the listeners. The believing Jews who had come with Peter couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on outsider, non-Jews. There it was. They heard them speaking in tongues and heard them praising God. Huge point right here.
I remember the original Living Bible. Mm-hmm. I love the way it translated, but there could be no doubt.
There could be no doubt.
For they heard them speaking with tongues and praising God.
Praise God.
You know, there could be no doubt that the Holy Spirit had fallen
on
them.
The Holy Spirit is not just for, quote unquote, religious people. People that have walked with God for so many years. It's not that kind of a reward. It's for anybody.
Yeah.
From Joel chapter 2, it was prophesied clear back hundreds of years before it happened that in the last days there would be the falling of the Holy Spirit on all mankind, everybody who wanted it, really. And that's what happened here. These people were new to all this. They're listening to the teaching and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no waiting period.
Right.
Good point, right?
I think it's very good point that, I mean, they were God-fearers, so they probably went to the synagogue
sure.
and, of course, they had to sit in the back. So
right.
they kind of knew a little bit, but apparently they didn't know anything about Jesus.
Ooh.
And Peter just starts preaching, and their hearts, God opened their hearts.
Yes.
They believe the Holy Spirit fell. And I love what Peter says. Okay, we got to do something right now. We got to get you baptized.
Right. Wow. All right. Hold that thought. And we're going to the song we did last week. I'm doing it again. Rodney Howard Brown. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. And in my heart.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou
God, you are welcome in this place, Holy Spirit, and oh my, in our lives on a daily basis. Great song, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. A lot of times we sing it, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we see in this story in Acts chapter 8, that these people received the word of God, and they just said, well, let's have it all, right?
Right. Well, the Samaritans, Cornelius, and you know, I love it. You know, I like the way the message puts, you know, the Gentile or the Jewish believers were just amazed. I mean, wait, okay, it was bad enough, God, when you poured out your Holy Spirit on the Samaritans.
Right.
Now on the Gentiles.
Right.
And, you know.
For everyone, right? Everyone.
And, yeah, and Peter ran into some trouble in Acts chapter 11 because some of the more conservative believers did not want to say that the Gentiles could be saved. And I love Peter's response. And I think it's important because it links what happened with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, you know what? As I began to speak, this is in Acts chapter 11, verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, here Peter equates what happened to them with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know, so if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?
Wow.
You know, and sometimes we think, you know, we think either for ourselves or maybe for other people, oh, they don't deserve the Spirit, or they are not good enough for the Spirit. And you know,
God's
you made
no
the point.
Respecter of persons.
Yeah, and you made the point. He's Mr. Clean.
Right.
I knew some people in Indiana when we all were receiving the Holy Spirit. They wanted to clean up their lives before, you know, there's some things they wanted to work on before they got the Holy Spirit. And we kept saying, no, you need the Holy Spirit to get to work on those things.
Absolutely.
Because
he knows exactly what we need.
Yeah. You don't have to tarry anymore.
Well, I quoted it earlier, and David said, you know, search me, O God, try my thoughts, try my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the path everlasting. David understood this concept. Okay, you're the one that's going to search me, you know? We don't do a very good job of searching ourselves, I don't think. You know, I think we kind of tend to gloss over some attitudes. We just kind of, they become our pet attitudes, right. Like prejudices, intolerance, unforgiveness, bitterness, old things that we think we have a right to be mad
right.
about.
We can justify those.
We justify them.
But, of course, they're usually the things we're quickest to pick out in other people.
Absolutely. That's the way it works.
Yeah. Just a sidelight there. But the Holy Spirit turns that searchlight on us.
Right.
And we can't hide.
Right. And that's just so powerful. Let's go to Acts 19. Here we go. If you've been taking notes, here's the references that you should have in your notes. I'm going to quote them to you. And be sure you have them there. John 1:33. Where John the Baptist says that Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. You should have Joel 2:28-32, where it was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came and became the Holy Spirit baptizer. Joel 2:28-32. You should then have Acts 1:5-8. It's very important where Jesus says, wait till the Holy Spirit falls on you. That's the dunamis. That's the dynamo that's going to give you the power. That word is power in the Greek, to become my witnesses. Then you should have Acts chapter 2, the whole thing, really, where the
Peter's sermon is great.
It's just, his sermon is amazing, isn't it?
Well, and he says, you know, at the end, they say, oh, you know, says they were pricked at the heart. They were just stunned. They were so much under conviction. They cried out, said, what should we do? And Peter said, Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And you made a quick point earlier.
Yes.
There was no time lapse here.
No, there's none.
And I was thinking about
when
you told me about what we were going to be talking about. It's a shame that we've institutionalized, you get saved, you have a period, and this started way back in the history of the church. Then you have a period of instruction before you get baptized, and then you have another period of instruction. Well, they just got it all at once, and I'm kind of jealous of that.
Isn't that cool? So that just shows, again, there's no set formula. What is required is that you say, God, I want all you have for me.
Right.
I want you to fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I don't want just that knowledge that I'm saved if I die tonight and go to heaven. I want more. I want all of you. That's the whole concept here, is being filled up with God's right. fullness, all that he is.
Well, and what Nathan said happened to him
yes.
reminded me of a story in, I think, related in the Holy Spirit and You by Reverend Dennis Bennett, who
right.
led the Episcopalian charismatic movement. He said he was talking with some lady. He was on a trip in England talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he met this lady who all she knew was she wanted Jesus. And she was, oddly enough, 13 because she was going through confirmation.
Oh, that's
And the Anglican bishop anointed her with oil and laid hands on her like they do for confirmation.
Right.
And she said, all I knew was I just had another language. And I had no idea what it was, but I've used it all these years. And she had no idea she was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
She didn't even know she was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He just is no respecter of persons. And he doesn't care where you've been and what you've done. If you want all of God, look out.
He'll
You're going
to
get
it to you. Yeah.
You know, okay, so then go to Acts 8, because we just talked about that, starting with verse 14 to 17. Then you're going to go over to Acts 10, starting with about verse 44. Actually, you can do the whole chapter of Acts 10, and you'll really understand this whole concept a lot better, but especially Acts 10, 44 yeah. to 46. And then you go into Acts 11 that we just talked about,
right.
verses 35 to 37.
Where Peter has to explain himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I forgot John 7, 37. John 7, 37 to 39. So you want to go back and put those in your notes. Now we are at Acts 19. Here we go. Where are we going here, PJ? And you want to read it and explain it?
Sure. Acts chapter 19, I'll just start with verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was this... It was a big, huge town in Asia Minor. It was like the city in Asia Minor. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Okay.
This passage is very important, people. Mark it in your Bible.
So Paul asked, "Well, what baptism did you receive?" They said, "John's baptism." And Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." And there were about 12 in all. These were incomplete, I would call them incomplete believers.
Okay.
Maybe they were visiting in Judea and Jerusalem around the time of John's baptism, when John was preaching before he got locked
sure.
up in jail. And maybe they were baptized by John. So they were looking for the coming one. They just didn't know he'd already been here.
Right. Well, they didn't have good communication like we do now.
Right, right. So they were, and I kind of get the feeling that these were probably just some little... like a little Essene monastic kind of community. And because obviously, you know, the church had already been established, I believe, in Ephesus by this
right.
time. But Paul bumped into one of those God incidences.
There you go. That's a good point right there.
You know, he ran into these people and they needed to know the fullness of the gospel.
Absolutely.
And Paul said, "Well, let me tell you. The one John preached was Jesus. He came, he died, he rose again, and he sent his Holy Spirit."
Wow.
And they were baptized. And again, they believed, they were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues.
And honestly, guys, just like it is a by faith thing when you get saved, you ask Jesus to come in your heart. You've heard me say this many, many times. You're ready for the plastic Jesus. Here we go. When you got saved, you did not see a little plastic Jesus flying around in the room and come and land in your chest like a pacemaker and embed himself into your heart. You did not see that. That did not happen. When you asked Jesus into your heart, you did it by faith. And you chose to believe that Romans 10, 9, and 10 is true, that if we confess
with our mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts
right.
that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved.
That's the key right there. That's Romans 10, 9, and 10. And so that's how you get saved, okay? And so we do that by faith, and we allow, we ask Jesus to come in. Do we see him in us? No, but we begin to see the effects of him. We feel him. We hear his voice. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, kind of along those same lines, when we pray to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we don't have like, and I'm sorry, I was picturing the movie Alien, but we don't have these rivers of living water busting out of our,
right,
busting out of our chest. You know, that, but it happens,
but
on
it
the
happens.
Inside.
It happens, yes. Jesus said it'll be like rivers of water. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you find yourself, it happens to me so much when I'm worshiping God at home, just walking around the house, praising God, and it just wells up within me that I start praying for people, and I start calling them or texting them and really reaching out, because it's that Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God down on the inside of you. You don't see him, but you do feel him, people.
Right, right. And that's some of the important things about praying in the Spirit. Praying,
right.
Because the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues.
Amen.
That is your prayer language. And
right.
Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Yes.
He calls it praying in the Spirit. He says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays.
It's right.
Praying in the Spirit.
Right.
So when you see that phrase, like in Ephesians chapter 5 and in the book of Jude, they're talking about praying
in
tongues.
The Spirit. They were doing the same thing.
Praying in tongues.
Yes, yes.
And the benefits. And, you know, Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues
right.
more than you all. But then he goes on to say, but in the church, I'd rather speak, you know, I'd
in
rather
the language
prophesy.
Everybody understands.
Right. He says, you'd rather that we prophesy, because that's something everybody understands. And yet he says it builds you up.
Right.
Tongues build you
and it's
up.
So
it edifies
does.
You.
I preached a sermon, powerful sermon today. You preached one last Sunday at Beacon of Hope, powerful sermons. We did it in English because everybody could understand it, right?
Right.
We didn't use our prayer language to preach with. That's what Paul's saying here. But when we are praying, let's say in the office before the service, and we are really, really praying and stirring up those gifts within us, we are praying
Definitely
a lot
praying.
In our prayer language. Yeah,
exactly.
So there's a time and place, and it's not something odd, weird, strange, you know, alien or anything else. It is the ability that God puts within you to pray in the Spirit. I like using that term. Praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit of God. God in you, the Spirit of God in you is praying through you. And I love Romans. No radio show or teaching would be correct without Romans 8:26. And so we got to go there, because Paul says in Romans 8:26, that the Spirit helps our weakness. For when we don't know how to pray as we should, he gives us utterance. Go ahead in the NIV, and then we'll explain it after a song in a minute.
In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
So that is Paul saying, you know what, when we don't know how to pray, that's the time we pray in the prayer language.
Exactly.
And that's the time that we just submit our mouth, our tongue, to pray in an unknown tongue. And I'll tell you what, I know now, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit since I was a long time ago, 1979, however many years that is. Mary, I guess, figured out my math in church and said it was wrong. So
35 years.
Okay, so 35 years, and you 40, right? And we have been ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit all that time, and that is where the power is. That's why Jesus said you're going to receive power, the dunamis. Mm-hmm. And so in Romans 8, when you don't know how to pray as you should, I love that. God comes alongside you in the form of the Holy Spirit and says, here, pray in your prayer language, and I will get it done what needs to be done. So many times, PJ, I'll just talk about my own life, my children, let's say, my daughter. When I want to pray for Lori, so often I don't know what is the best thing for Lori. You know, I don't know that I cannot call her and say, do this, 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 and this. No, I don't know how to pray, so I'm praying in the Spirit for her.
And Nathan had mentioned it before. We sort of, you know, we don't filter it through our mind. Because
right.
in our mind, I mean, I know when I pray for people, if I'm my mind is saying, well, you know they need to pray, you know you need to pray about this, and you know you need to pray
right,
about
that. Right, that's our mind, yeah.
And that I could be totally off because that's my mind.
Right.
That's part of my soul. But the Holy Spirit, that's just, it sort of like bypasses the mind.
It does.
And, we're praying exactly what God wants us to pray.
Amen.
Yeah, because there are times we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know what to pray. We don't even sometimes know who to pray for.
Right. And then as we start praising, it happens to me all the time, as I'm praising God and then I'm maybe singing in the spirit in my prayer language, I will start praying for someone, and I will be interceding for them. You and I do that together and Nathan all the time. And we just start praying for them and suddenly it may even go into English, where we are praying for somebody specific things, as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. Mm-hmm. So praise God. We got to do this song, Terry McCallum. I tell you, this study of the Holy Spirit, you got to have this song. And we did it this morning, and the Holy Spirit fell. Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
Jesus, bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we welcome you in this place, Lord. We welcome the new thing that we've never known before. We welcome the river of God to flow mightily through the streets of our cities, God. Hallelujah. Let it happen, God. Let it happen in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our hearts as we sing together.
Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
Spirit of the Lord, set me free.
you, mighty God. We just thank you right now that we have invited your Holy Spirit through this song to fall fresh on each one of us. Lord, we just ask right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit across these airwaves, whether live or later on our website, that there are people who desire to be filled up with all that you have for them, that they want this renewal, this filling to just absolutely take place in their heart and in their life, and they're ready to have the living water just well up within them, like Jesus talked about, oh, at the great feast. Lord, right now we realize that Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer, and because we're on the air, we can't actually literally lay hands on people. But Jesus, you are the Holy Spirit baptizer. And if you out there in Radio Land want to be filled with all that God has for you and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you do it by faith right now. You reach out and you say, I am willing. Please, Jesus, baptize me right now with your Holy Spirit. Give Amen. Him permission. And then you will receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you will receive a prayer language, and you will be able to speak that out and pray in your prayer language. We would be more than happy to answer any questions you have about this, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But let's just thank you right now, God. Cedric, cue that song we just did up again and put it in the background, if you will, for just a moment. I believe there are some out there that are really, really hurting today. And you know, this whole topic of Holy Spirit baptism really has a lot to do with being humble and broken before God. Some of you out there are so hurting, you need all that God has for you. And this is another reason for you to say, Lord, fill me right now with your Holy Spirit. Some of you just are hungering. You have been hungering for God. And you just don't know what that means. You just want to read the Bible more. This is it. The Holy Spirit is prompting you to search the deeper things of God. The Holy Spirit is opening your eyes and your ears to opportunities before you. And maybe on the inside of you, you're saying, I don't know what to do when somebody comes up to me and wants prayer or whatever. I just don't feel like I have the courage. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find that you will have that courage. And God will give you that dunamis, that dynamite power on the inside. You'll have the right words at the right time. So, Lord, for every single one of these that are right now listening to this song and listening to this prayer, those that you have ordained in this moment or later on our website that need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, let it happen right now. We agree in prayer for all of this. And we thank you, Lord, for these dear ones that want all of you. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody out there right now that's got some serious eye problems. In fact, you've been given a diagnosis that you are losing your eyesight. And I don't know who you are, but God knows, or he wouldn't be calling it out right now. Whoever you are, receive your healing by faith and claim that Jesus Christ is your healer. Claim Psalm 103:3. He heals all your diseases. He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. So blind eyes, eyes going blind, we speak to you now in the name of Jesus. And we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody has a severe back issue. You're in pain right this moment. There's more than one person like this. God says to you, reach out and claim your healing now by faith. Be healed in Jesus' name. Somebody that's got some serious ear problems that affect one of your ears, you're not hearing at all. And God says, put your hand on that ear and claim your healing in the name of Jesus. Put your hand on your ear right now, the one that is not hearing, and claim your healing right now in Jesus' name. Somebody that's got some serious issues with your diabetes. I know it's a prevalent disease, but whoever you are, put your hands on your own head and claim your healing right now and stand in agreement that God will give you wisdom with your insulin and with all the things that you have to do, and that you will just continually get better and better and better. Lord, we ask right now for your healing power to flow through the airwaves to these who need your touch right now. Lord, if there's anybody out there that is not sure that Jesus is their Savior, let today be that day for them. Amen. Where they accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Talk to us, Pastor Jim. How do we sum up all this that God's doing? And we invite people to contact you or me. I mean, our email addresses are easy. Mine's pastor@bohmglobal.com.
And mine's Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com.
And you are such a scholar of the Word, and you are so... We've had so many people contact you with questions, you know? And you do respond, and you write them back. And, you know, we want people to reach out to us. And our prayer, the prayers, we haven't mentioned it today. Yeah. Go ahead.
We also have a prayer ministry. If you would send your prayers to prayers@bohmglobal.com. We have a prayer team that will pray for your requests,
Amen.
Whatever they are, large,
yes.
small. It doesn't matter, because
right.
either me or Carol up in Georgia will pick the prayer up.
Right.
We'll write a prayer for everybody to pray. Because, again, we talked earlier about being in unity.
Amen.
And, you know, we'll pray in unity, believing for whatever your need is.
Amen.
And please let us know when God...
Yes.
answers your prayer.
When, not if.
Not if, but when.
Because he's easy.
Yeah,
oh,
I like keeping track of those praise reports.
Right.
And if you'd like to be a member of the prayer team, the only thing we ask is that you pray
right.
and believe. You can also contact us at prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Right. Amen. Sunday morning service is at 10:30, and we are at our new location where we've been almost a year, and it's just a fabulous location. We just love it, love it. 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, basically in Clearwater at the corner of Drew and 19, kind of. You just go to our website to see. It's kind of tricky to find it. It's behind the Toyota dealership. So go to our website, which is, again, www.bohmglobal.com. You see a pattern here? bohmglobal.com, and you'll have specific directions on how to get there, because it is a little tricky, but it's a wonderful place. And Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. I tell you, God moves every single week in both of our services, does he
right.
not?
And we also have prayer before
yes.
Bible study.
Yes, we do.
You know, we'll gather, we'll pray about different needs.
Right.
We'll take prayer requests. We also will pray out of the book, Prayers That Avail Much.
Yes. By Jermaine Copeland.
By Jermaine Copeland, because that's praying the word, and
right.
there's no, except praying in the spirit, there's no better prayer you can pray
right, sure.
than just praying the word,
that's
reminding
right.
God of his promises.
Amen. Amen. So that's what we do. That's our schedule around here and on the air every Sunday afternoon, 3 to 5. And it's a joy to be on the air. You and I love it so much, don't mm-hmm. we, Pastor Jim?
And every time, y'all know, every time I'm on here, I say the same thing. I can't believe it's already almost 5 o'clock.
I know. And this is the fastest 2 hours of our entire week.
Oh, absolutely.
So we just love to share the Word of God with you. And again, we welcome you to write us with any questions or comments.
Yes,
you know,
please
do.
I love answering questions.
Yes. Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. Pastor, that's me, at bohmglobal.com. So we welcome you to our services, 10:30 on Sunday and Wednesday night at 7. You can become a financial partner with us. And I just had somebody ask last week how they can do that. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and go to PayPal, donations. Go mm-hmm. at the bottom of the page, go click on donations, and then go to PayPal. And you can give a financial donation, which will go for this radio broadcast to keep us on the air. So, again, become a financial partner with us. If you do not have a ministry or a home church that you're tithing to, do it. And if you're receiving the Word of God through this ministry, then by all means, bohmglobal.com, donations, PayPal. There you go. It's that easy. So we welcome you to join us at any service. So it's been a great time. I really hope, Pastor Jim, that people will take this instruction on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and run
and
with
study it. I'm glad you gave all those scriptures.
Yes.
I mean, you know, in John 1, John 7.
Right.
I would even say Isaiah 28.
Yes, and Isaiah 44.
Isaiah 44, Acts chapters 2, 8, 10, 11, and 19.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, and then
1 Corinthians 12, 14.
And if you have a concordance, wow. run the phrase, pray in the Spirit. Run that, and
you'll find it.
You'll find it. It's very, very important. I mean, just dig into it. I mean, because I know there's a lot of talk against what we talked about today and a lot of misunderstanding.
It's just ignorance, though.
Right. Get into the Word.
Right.
See what the Word of God says.
Right. And guess what, guys? It's time for us to get out of here. It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia, Nathan, and Pastor Jim bringing the Word of God to you today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have a great week. Contact us. Send your prayer requests to prayers at bohmglobal.com. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week, gang.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far.
Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay.